Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, back to the Voice of the Grizzlies and the Eric Hasseltine Show, where guests appear via the Landers Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram phone line on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
Brian Kabrowski writes for Hoops Hype. You can always follow him on Twitter at Brian Kabrowski, BryanKabrowski. Connor, let's make him the Q&A of the day.
The best in sports. Now it's time for the Eric Hasseltine Show Q&A of the day on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Brian, now that we're roughly 22 and a half hours away from the trade deadline, what news that you've seen today has piqued your interest the most?
I, for one, cannot believe that the Sixers were able to land Malachi Richardson and a Toronto 2022 second-round pick for the rights to Amir Preldisic in cash consideration. That's all I could. That's bigger than Anthony Davis for me.
You know, it is funny. It feels like a decade ago, everyone was getting traded for cash considerations. It was nice to have a little nostalgia today. We haven't seen many cash considerations recently. Now the new buzzword is bad contracts. It was nice to have a little throwback today.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, in all seriousness, it was, there's going to be some moves like that where teams are kind of squeaking around trying to figure out, you know, the money of it all, not necessarily the basketball operations. And that's a big part of the game is, you know, the money is as important in terms of getting everything in order as it is your X's and O's on the court. I mean, it's definitely, you know, you want to make sure you have a team that can play the best to win, but, you know, you want to avoid the luxury tax as best as you can. You want to kind of manipulate it so that you're within financial reasons able to kind of stay competitive for as long as possible. And, you know, that's why the Clippers made that move today to trade Tobias Harris to Philadelphia as well. You know, obviously for Philadelphia, that's a much bigger move than acquiring Malachi Richardson and the 2022 second round pick from Toronto. But, you know, for financial reasons, the Clippers opened up an opportunity to make a really big play this offseason. And I think that, you know, you're seeing this around the league. The Knicks did this as well. The Lakers are still going to be competitive financially speaking. Brooklyn has a lot of cap space. Dallas has some cap space, although they use a lot of it for the Porzingis trade. So I think, you know, you're going to be seeing trades like this quite a bit where, you know, you've got money moving around, and that's sort of, the bulk of it. But Tobias Harris leaving the Clippers was not a trade for basketball reasons. That's a trade that was made strictly because they now have the money to sign Kawhi Leonard, who they believe they're confident they can get, as well as potentially another max free agent this offseason as well.
I do kind of like Philadelphia going after a Tobias and a Malachi. They both feel like biblical names, and if you're trying to win a championship, it feels like you're going all in on that. We need every ounce that we can get if we have to go the religious route, if we have to throw up prayers. I do feel like that's going overlooked in all of these deals.
That is not the take that I had when I thought Tobias Harris was traded. I didn't really think of the biblical implications of it all. You know what, if that's what it is, maybe they can get Eli, Sam, maybe a Moses. I think there's a Moses that's coming up in the next 2019 draft class, actually. I think it's Moses Brown.
Yeah, I feel like Moses kind of went by the wayside, but you're right, it is a strong name. Like, I feel like now we have more dogs named Moses than we do kids named Moses.
This is exactly what I thought we would be talking about. It's a dog named Moses. I mean, I'm sure that's why you guys made me the guest of the day.
The Q&A of the day, baby.
Talk about dog named Moses.
Mm-hmm. All right, on to matters at hand. So with the Grizzlies, let's start first with Marc Gasol. So Marc Gasol ends up not playing last night. There seems to be conflicting reports for why he didn't play, whether or not it was orchestrated because he was going to sit down, because he was about to be traded. There also seems to be some speculation that the Grizzlies, once the news went public, once Shams had the tweet, that they reacted and said they were going to sit him at that point because he was expected to play as of, honestly, trying to remember yesterday specifically, I think about 4:30 he was even scheduled to play. But in terms of what we are now seeing, that we clearly don't have a deal between the Grizzlies and Charlotte, there seems to be conflicting reports of why there is no deal. Do you think in the next 22 and a half hours that Marc Gasol is going to be part of the Charlotte Hornets?
I would say it's probably about 70% Charlotte Hornets, 25% somewhere else, and maybe a 5% chance he stays with Memphis. I think that he's sort of made peace with everything with his time in Memphis. I think that he feels that, you know, he did what he could to be a good Grizzly for a long time. And, I mean, he was the face of the franchise for a very long time. And I really believe that, you know, realistically, man, that it's going to be a situation where Marc Gasol has played his last game with the Grizzlies. I know that your fan base gave him a really warm ovation and a warm goodbye, essentially, the other night, last night. I think that Charlotte is someone who is a team that really wants him. As I said last time when I was on the air with you guys, Charlotte's a really good fit. They were looking at Kevin Love. They were, Zach Lowe from ESPN said, hell-bent on making the postseason. And I think that, you know, they're trying to do whatever they can to make sure Kemba Walker realizes that there is a winning mindset in the air for the Hornets, especially with the All-Star break coming up. They want to make, you know, in Charlotte, North Carolina, they want to make a splash, make some kind of an exciting move. And, you know, Gasol, at least at the beginning of the season, when his trade value was a little bit higher, was a very good two-way fourth. And I believe that Charlotte, you know, with Marc Gasol is a contender in the East to at least be the 7 or 8 or 6 seed, you know, with Brooklyn and Detroit maybe, and, you know, a couple other teams kind of in that mix. Maybe even Indiana might fall out a little bit with Oladipo no longer in the mix, being out for the season. But, you know, the truth of the matter is I watched Indiana play against the Lakers last night, and they still look pretty good even without Oladipo. They gave LeBron his worst regular season loss of his career. So I would definitely say to keep an eye on Charlotte, you know, moving forward. For Gasol, obviously, I mean, that's not exactly a hot take. I mean, it's pretty obvious right now that's going to be, you know, where his leading destination is. But if it's not Charlotte, I don't really expect Gasol to go back to the Grizzlies.
What is a reasonable return for Gasol from Charlotte? Because I think most people here have decided that, you know, if you can get Malik Monk out of this, like, yeah, let's do it. But I'm not so sure that that's what you're going to get out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Gasol, you just got to sort of take what you can get right now. Memphis is a team that's going to be worried about, you know, bottoming out, getting best draft picks they can moving forward, you know, getting young players, getting expiring contracts, getting off bad money, as we talked about earlier. So if that's not Malik Monk, I mean, if you're getting an expiring contract, which Charlotte has plenty to offer, that's still a valuable thing for Memphis to consider, considering how much money and what Marc Gasol will be owed to not be a particularly valuable player for a losing organization. With all due respect to the Grizzlies, that's sort of what they are right now, then that's not necessarily the worst thing. If you're a losing organization at this point, right now, it just sort of means that you have a better chance of getting good draft picks for the next couple of years, right? And that's not always the worst way of doing things. You saw that in Oklahoma City, you know, getting Durant and Westbrook. You saw that across the board. If you can draft well, there's nothing wrong with being a losing organization. But paying someone like Gasol that much money, he's going to help you win more games, and he's not going to really be a big thing. So in terms of a reasonable asset, you know, I think Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is probably the guy that you guys are probably going to end up getting, at least in some capacity, as well as expiring contracts, because, you know, he's a defensive-first player. I think he really fits that grit-and-grind mold that you guys had talked about earlier. I think that realistically, man, you guys are going to probably end up with Michael Gilchrist, and I think that's going to be at least the base of the package there, and I think that's not a bad return. Former number two pick, regardless of whether or not he deserved it, he is somebody who I think actually is a pretty good Memphis mindset kind of a guy.
Brian Kabrowski of Hoops Hype is joining the program. As always, go follow him on Twitter, at Brian Kabrowski. And then Sam Amick of The Athletic has reported on the Mike Conley trade front. Sources tell The Athletic that Indiana remains among the teams in talks with Memphis to land him. Utah, as others have mentioned, also involved. Indications from Toronto and Pacers' side that the Grizzlies' price is prohibitively high. We're also now starting to see reports. Brian Windhorst has made mention, I believe Mark Stein has also made mention, that through Mike Conley's agent, he has made it known that he doesn't really want to play for Utah. In terms of whether or not the Grizzlies can make a deal for Conley, are they in, with Conley specifically, are they in a similar position to what New Orleans is in with Davis, in that they don't necessarily have to make a deal for Conley before tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting where, you know, if I'm Memphis, I would have obviously, you've probably heard this, you know, several times now. I would have done this several years ago, right? It's too late to be having that kind of a mindset, though. So, you know, without you know, really being able to go back in time, you know, you can't change what's already happened. I think you have to just get the best deal that you can get. It's going to be hard to move a contract like Conley. That's so lucrative. You know, that's a lot of money to have to move, and I don't really see a situation where that's going to be easy money to move either. So I think, you know, maybe a Ricky Rubio type, someone like that from Utah would be excellent for Mike Conley. And I think that Mike Conley is somebody who, you know, like Marc Gasol has done a lot of great things for the organization. But I think if they had traded him last year or something, it would have been better. But now he's closer to being an expiring contract, which is going to be more valuable because a team doesn't necessarily have to hold on to him for as long or pay him for as long, right? So I think if you look at it from that perspective, I would just say that, you know, Mike Conley, I think, is a lot more likely to end up with Memphis after the trade deadline than Marc Gasol is. I think Marc Gasol has already kind of come to peace and come to terms with it, and I think Memphis the same way. They've kind of been aware of the fact that this is the end for Marc Gasol in Memphis. I think Conley can finish out the season there, but, you know, for a team like Utah that's trying to make a push, that, you know, or Detroit, who could really, and, you know, the owner in Detroit is still looking to make a push, and, you know, the owner in Detroit wants to be in the playoffs. You know, they both could use upgrades at point guard, and Conley, you know, like I said about Gasol, is a very good player and somebody who I believe would be someone who could add a lot of value to a team like Utah. If you think about Utah, you know, with Mike Conley at the one, Donovan Mitchell at the two, joining with the three, and then, you know, Rudy Gobert at the five, that I think that's it's a very competitive roster right there. Maybe they could try to trade their first round pick and maybe add someone like Nikola Mirotic too, because Mirotic is a much better fit for the Utah front court than Derek Favors is, who to me feels more like a backup center than a starting four. I think that, you know, Utah has really struggled with both Gobert and Favors on the court at the same time. So I think that, you know, you could kind of signal that you're trying to make a push by getting both Conley and Mirotic, Nikola Mirotic. And I know that, you know, there are real, you know, rumblings around the league right now that New Orleans are trying to make their guys available as best as they can. New Orleans has got, you know, Julius Randle on the block, Mirotic on the block, Yuan Moore on the block, in addition to Davis. So, yeah, you know, I think with Conley, you know, I think Utah is the most likely destination, and I think that they're going to be looking for more than one player right now, too. I think it's going to be more than just Conley that they're looking for.
Do you think the Grizzlies, given with what Conley has meant to their franchise, what he's meant to the city, do the Grizzlies have to honor his wishes of not wanting to go to Utah? I stress, if those reports are indeed true.
I mean, I think that, you know, right now what you're probably trying to do if you're Memphis, besides getting the young players, all the minutes they can get, making Jaren Jackson Jr., getting his reps in, improving him overall as a player, is you want to make sure that, you're viewed as an organization that's respected by players. I think that Memphis really struggled during the offseason last year, right, when they ended up not really getting anybody who wanted to work out for the organization. I think that's a really bad look. And if you could find ways to remedy that, where people are like, listen, at the end of the day, you really treated your players well and with respect and gave them what was best for them, that'll go a long way too. Obviously, Jackson, who didn't work out with the Grizzlies, still drafted by the team and seems to be, by all accounts, very happy to be a Grizzly and to have been, selected where he was. I think that was a great value pick for the organization, and I think that's probably one of the best draft picks, if not the best draft pick that Memphis has made, probably since Mike Conley, to be fair, and I think realistically, man, you're going to want to see other players to eventually, build around Jackson and be like, that's a good young core over there in Memphis that they're building. I think you're starting to see that a little bit in Phoenix where, you start seeing, DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker, and you're like, you know what, even though it's not necessarily a team that's going to be in the playoffs, I wouldn't mind being a young guy on that team. If you're Memphis, you want to be the next team in that young core vein, right? And I think Jaren Jackson Jr. is a great guy for that. Such a smart guy, such a well-spoken guy, such a guy well-liked by his teammates. No controversy with Jaren Jackson Jr. You'll never see anything like that. So I think, for Memphis, you're absolutely right. When it comes to Mike Conley, you want to keep your rep around, because players talk. Players, typically, especially ones that, an Ohio State player, for example, will probably have Mike Conley's phone number. You want to keep those relationships strong. You want to make sure he feels welcome back at the organization. Kevin Garnett, I know, struggled for a long time to view the Timberwolves in a positive regard. Things ended sourly there. He didn't want to get traded to Boston. They traded him to Boston. I think that you look around the league, you want to be one of those organizations that's respected in that sense. And I think that, they kind of showed they were player first last year by moving on from Fizdale because Marc Gasol had problems with him, right? If you can be viewed as a player friendly organization, that's going to be really valuable in the long term because you'll be able to get more draft workouts and more guys who are a little bit more excited to be part of the organization. That's eventually. That could probably lead to some free agency, decisions too. That won't be for top guys. I don't see Memphis being, a place where Anthony Davis wants to, put on their list, right?
Come on, we got like the river right there. We got a Bass. We turned the pyramid into a Bass Pro Shop. What are you talking about, man? We got ribs, stuff. Yeah.
Hey, well, that's not to disparage Memphis, Tennessee, a place that I have never been. So I can't really speak to how much fun it is.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking more about the state of the organization right now.
I have no idea what you're talking about. God, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. All right, then one last thing before we let you go, because you've been very gracious with your time. Another reported deal that we're starting to see that involves the Grizzlies would be perhaps flipping Jamichael Green and Garrett Temple for Brandon, essentially for Brandon Knight, and then you're getting Marquise Chris's contract and perhaps – it appears to be a pick. There's no specifics if it's a first, if it's a second, if it's a future, if it's protected. We don't know. But in terms of whether or not that deal makes sense for the Grizzlies, what are your thoughts?
Houston doesn't really have very much to give right now in terms of draft picks. So I wouldn't get your hopes up too high in terms of it being a future first because, Houston really is, has first round picks owed across the board to so many other teams around the league right now. They don't have their own first-round pick for several years, and with the step-in rule, you can't trade first-round picks in back-to-back seasons. But the other flip side of that coin, right, is I would say that with Memphis, if you can get anything back for these guys, what is it the point of having them on your roster right now? If you can get any asset back, it's not really the end of the world, man. That's a first round pick that Giannis potentially, right, was picked late in the draft in some first round You know, Giannis Antetokounmpo was picked later. If you can find, like, if you can have a good scouting department that can get your priorities right and pick the right guys and identify the right talent, then by all means, I think it's worth it. You have to trust your scouting department. And I think that's somewhere Memphis has really struggled. I mean, I wrote earlier about how the Knicks have basically, you know, re-signed only one rookie to a second year or to a second contract for multi-years. Another organization like that is Memphis. I mean, besides Mike Conley, you don't really see a rookie get that second contract in Memphis. I mean, I imagine that Dylan Brooks will eventually be someone like that. I think they like Dylan Brooks, and he's probably going to be a role player from Memphis for probably a long time unless he gets traded. But you have to be able to identify players in the draft that you're willing to keep. And eventually, if they can get a scouting department that's able to do that, then I think that they'll eventually, you know, become a more valuable franchise. So I would definitely do a trade like that, Jamichael Green, et cetera, you know, whatever that package was that you just mentioned that has been reported and rumored to the Rockets. I would definitely do that because if you can get a good scouting department in there, the extra picks is kind of the cornerstone of that franchise. You can use those picks as a package to potentially move up, right?
Yes.
Use that pick and your own pick and move up a spot or two. You know, stockpiling assets is what made the process work in Philadelphia. If you could stockpile assets in Memphis as well, that's going to be a valuable thing for many years. And I think that you might as well start now.
Brian, what you said has made entirely too much sense, so I look forward to the Grizzlies not doing any of it.
You know what? You're going to see a starting five. There's going to be buyers in the market, aren't they? They're going to end up trying to get like a Wayne Ellington and make a push.
Appreciate your time, my man.
Yeah, I appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for having me on, as always.
He is Brian Kobrowski of Hoops Hype. As always, follow him on Twitter, at Brian Kobrowski. When we come back, we're going to get into the headlines. Stick around. You'll listen to the Eric Kastein Show right here on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.